All right, well, to speak for yourself, I'm Jason Whitlock. That is Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
All right, joining us today is TJ Houshmandzadeh. Usually we start with a Whitlock, but today we got some late breaking news in the NFL. So we're going to start in Cleveland, where the Browns announced today they have signed former Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt. Hunt was released by Kansas City back in November after a video surfaced that showed him shoving and kicking a woman during an incident at a hotel where Hunt was living. Browns general manager John Dorsey released a statement on the signing saying, quote, "My relationship and interaction with Kareem since 2016 in college was an important part of this decision-making process, but we then did extensive due diligence with many individuals, including clinical professionals, to have a better understanding of the person he is today and whether it was prudent to sign him. There were two important factors. One is that Kareem took full responsibility for his egregious actions and showed true remorse. And secondly, just as importantly, he is undergoing and is committed to necessary professional treatment and a plan that has been clearly laid out." That is John Dorsey's explanation. I think to some degree, the explanation defies logic. Hmm. Part of the reason why they did it today and this early into the offseason, we're not even to Valentine's Day yet, it's because they're afraid the Chicago Bears and Matt Nagy were going to sign him. And so, to me, I think this is a bad look for the Browns and the NFL. The NFL hasn't even completed its investigation, rendered a suspension or anything, and one of the first things we do in the offseason, or we're just 14 days or 10 days after the Super Bowl, or 7 days, I can't remember, and Kareem Hunt's off the market. This kind of desperation will not land well with a segment of the NFL fan base, and a loud vocal segment will have a problem that there couldn't even been a pump the brakes. Hmm. Let's wait till March, April, let's figure out what the suspension is before Kareem Hunt's on his next contract.
We knew Kareem Hunt was going to get signed because of his age, the birth certificate, and his talent level. We also knew that was going to take some time. And I just want to make sure that everyone in American general public understands that it's only been, a week plus from the Super Bowl? But as soon as Kareem Hunt was suspended and then
finally... He hasn't been suspended yet.
Well, under commissioner's review, which starts now. Once he was released from a team, the clock started with all the other teams saying, when is the right time, appropriate time to really bring him onto our roster? And he was going to have a few too many suitors. Let's just be real about that. I have no problem with this, where this lands, and I'll tell you why. We always talk about American values and how that is portrayed and how that sometimes exemplified in the real world, the land of second chances. And it's amazing that we want to all echo those same values, but we don't want to see it materialized. We don't actually want to see it demonstrated. And if a corporation demonstrates that, how dare they? But a corporation is just made up of individuals who may be echoing the same thing and those same American values. So I'm a believer in second chances. I'm a believer in third chances. You have to earn every chance, but I'm certainly going to give you the opportunity and the platform and the runway to earn that chance. Kareem Hunt, we knew this was coming. Kareem Hunt's in this moment right now. Time will tell if this was the right or wrong move, but I'm not going to put up any more resistance. He has to go through all the penalty phases, as he is going through. Public scorning, that's a part of his punishment. Lost wage is part of his punishment. He's going to be suspended for games. That's going to be a part of his punishment. It's going to culminate into an experience where he's going to be punished for those actions. Let's see if he's going to be a guy who is actually showing some retribution.
Both of you guys made great points. I really believe it is too soon. The Super Bowl just ended. Mm. But they did this because of what you said. They saw Matt Nagy and Chicago Bears snooping around and said, let's beat them to the punch. If he didn't have the type of talent that he has, he wouldn't be signed, period. And they can, he's taking the necessary steps. If he couldn't play, they would wait. They would wait. Okay, complete every step. Go through the counseling. Show me that you are really remorseful for what you've done. But because he's shown in his short career that he's a really good player, they're going to say, we're going to beat him to the punch now. He's in Cleveland. That's where he's from. John Dorsey, they drafted him in Kansas City. and there's other teams that are interested in him. And it was, let's beat them to the punch before they sign him. I believe they should have waited. Let it run its course. Let them get through the rehab process and really make sure that, okay, he's gone through the rehab. The professional said, okay, he's on the right path. But again, they just beat the Chicago Bears or whoever else wanted to sign him to the punch because they didn't want to lose him.
I certainly believe in 12th chance.
Exactly.
And I have defended from Greg Hardy on down guys re-entering the league. And so I'm all for that. But at some point, the NFL has to be wise and understand what position they're in and what's best for the league. And so, again, Kareem Hunt was going to play in the NFL again this year. It's just a matter of when. And if I were the league, I would have forbid, hey, no one can cut a deal with Kareem Hunt until our investigation is complete and until we have suspended him. And let that happen in March or April or whenever. I just think this is different than what Reuben Foster and the Washington Redskins. This thing is on tape. There's no question about right or wrong. This isn't a he said, she said. This is on tape. We saw the behavior. He's acknowledged it, expressed remorse for it. I think he deserves a second opportunity. But if I were the league, if I were Roger Goodell, I wouldn't want this egg on my face that I think is coming because the Browns jumped out here a week after the Super Bowl and we got Kareem Hunt. And then it's because I've known him since 2016.
Well, they could have signed him during the season. If that was the case, yeah. What changed?
Well, look, let's just be real. Those thoughts are the type of thoughts that doesn't believe in a bail system. Think about a bail system. And in this situation, in an NFL, a private club, the bail system is based on your talent. Yes, you still have to go under trial. You still have to go under investigation. We still have to have recourse. But we are going to set you free in terms of opportunities to go out there before you go to that same trial. So thinking like you guys are saying means you don't get bail. No bail for this incident. I don't think that this incident, because there are things that happened before, and we don't know that. That's a part of the investigation. There were things that are going to be discovered throughout this process. And even if he is guilty on all accounts, then the bail just said you are free to have an opportunity, but now that opportunity has to be postponed until you deal with your punishment. I'm fine with that in terms of course of action. I understand what you guys are saying. It's not necessarily the best optics. But nothing was going to be great optics. You're never going to satisfy everybody. If he was signed the day before the season, people say, oh, now you're going to sign him just in time to use him up and get the talent out there. We knew you, NFL, you dirty dogs. And there's just no way to win in this situation. So the calendar doesn't matter for me.
Like, I'm all for the second chances. A lot of us have made dumb mistakes when we were younger. And luckily, I know for myself, social media wasn't around and everybody didn't have camera phones. Hey. So a lot of things weren't recorded.
Yes.
Excuse me. It's not a good look. And for what he did, and you just get signed immediately, it just goes to show you talent outweighs everything.
Of course, it's the NFL.
Talent outweighs everything. I just wish what you said, that Goodell knew teams were interested, that he just wouldn't privately send out a memo and say, if you're interested in signing Kareem Hunt, let it play its course, let it run its course, and after that, you guys can kind of do what you want to do.
Right.
I hope he makes most of this second chance and does well.
We got to move on. Let's move to the Panthers, who just gave outspoken safety Eric Reed a big payday, signing him to a 3-year extension worth more than $22 million. Reed has been Colin Kaepernick's biggest cheerleader and even launched his own collusion lawsuit against the NFL last year. But reportedly, this contract could mean his case is all but over. I think the Carolina Panthers have really taken one for the NFL here and have paid Eric Reed to shut up and to drop the collusion thing. Eric Reed's overpaid. I love Cam Newton, so I watched Carolina a lot. Eric Reed wasn't very good this year. I went to Pro Football Focus, had them look that up. He was ranked the 55th best safety this past
How many
season.
Safeties in the league? With like more than 55?
There's two on every team or two starters every team.
That's he ain't at the bottom.
64 starting safeties, 55.
And injury,
3 years, $22 million.
Let's talk about the other nine dudes. They sorry as hell.
I watched. He was not very good. This dude is overpaid. They just paid him to shut him up.
Wow. Well, the other nine dudes need to be out the league. And damn it, if he beat nine dudes, 55 out of 64. let me say this about my biggest takeaway was I don't see a connection, a political connection, of the Carolina Panthers taking one for the NFL, as you mentioned. I don't see this putting out any fires or an attempt to put out any fires. I'll tell you why. Because if this is an example of them trying to put out a fire, then they spraying the whole yard, and they spraying it all differently because Colin Kaepernick is not in the league with a collusion case. They spraying that differently than they are spraying Eric Reed in terms of, no, we're going to give you an extension to stay in the league. So there's no rhyme or reason to one example to the other. Therefore, there's no connection. If there's no connection, then there can't be any political protest being put out with this because why is Kaepernick not in the league? So I'm using their actions against this and saying there can't be any connection. There's no rhyme or reason.
I mean, it's baffling. I mean, he was still kneeling during the season. Like, he was still kneeling during the season, and it's
cheap shots on the field.
Do they like
him? Well, that's NFL football.
No. I'm telling you, I watched Marcel.
Even people who don't protest still do cheap shots.
I watch.
Like, don't put everything on Eric Reed.
For him, it's good. For the safety market, Earl Thomas is looking at this like, man, thank you, bro. I appreciate this. I just hope it's not what you said where the NFL and the Carolina Panthers have said, okay, this is what we're going to do. Because we know those type of things do go on. For me, it doesn't look good. For Colin Kaepernick now, it's almost like he was a part of the kneeling. Mm-hmm. We signed him. It can't be collusion against you. And so I don't know how that's going to play out. But if he was as bad as you said, it is quite striking that, ironic that he's the 55th ranked safety by pro. That's very ironic.
The haters against Pro Football Focus will say they don't always take scheme into account. Like, what my coach wants me to do not is necessarily going to be standard issue for
Marcellus,
everyone else.
I watched.
I saw it, too. You act like you don't know
the TV. No. I'm just telling you.
What?
I love Cam Newton, so I watch him every week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was forced to watch Eric Reed. This rating is not out of line.
Oh, I get that. But you have to also understand, let's take the rating and put it to the side because there are players that are going to be ranked low, but they're still going to be valuable to their team and to their concepts and to their schemes. Let's just
But it can be more. It doesn't have to just be on the field. He might be a good locker room guy that guys in the locker room and the coaches.
Oh, yeah, when he's going after Malcolm Jenkins in pregame,
he might be
a great locker room guy. Fight with Malcolm Jenkins before the game? Great locker room guy.
Hey, you show some dog in you, baby. The Panthers need to fight.
Y'all need to stop.
What does the Panthers owe the league? If anything, look, they got a progressive owner with a minority coach. The dominoes may fall in line where they are a little more empathetic and understanding to this cause. But let's just say, what does the Carolina Panthers owe the league to be the team that takes one for the league?
Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed are suing the entire league. The Carolina Panthers are a part of that.
Right.
And so that's what they owe. It's a group effort, these 32 teams. And by giving this dude this contract, you shut him up and you take all credibility away from Colin Kaepernick and you legitimize Roger Goodell's comments Super Bowl week. If somebody thought Colin Kaepernick could help them win, they would sign him.
But in argument
to
that,
sign this guy here.
They already signed him once. But, why I got to double down or triple down on it with this extension?
But
Your Honor.
It's different, though. When you're a quarterback, you're the face of the team. When you're a safety, you're not even in the front seat. You might be in the trunk. and so it's a different feel when it's a quarterback.
Yeah. Eric Reed, I think they've made a mistake from a football perspective and from a business perspective. Eric Reed has done nothing but whine and cry and try to draw attention to himself ever since they let him back in the league, and now they've just rewarded him. Don't be shocked when you get more of the bad behavior, not just from Eric Reed, but others who will play the victim card and whine and complain, oh my God, and hope that they get the same kind of payday as Eric Reed. Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse, we're usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. I'm guilty of it myself, particularly when I was younger and playing football. I can remember hurting my shoulder and never telling the trainers. That turned into a real problem. The same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. Roman is a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/speak, fill out a brief medical onboarding, chat with the doctor, and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. That's GetRoman.com/speak. Guys, go online and get checked by the doctor. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's really easy, so take care of it. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/speak. That's GetRoman.com/speak for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/speak. All right, welcome back. Time for today's Whitlaw. This weekend, Marcellus, I was in a conversation with my best friend from high school.
Yeah, I remember us talking.
We were talking about a mutual friend and how little leverage he has within his marriage. His wife is better looking than him and has had the higher paying job throughout their marriage. Let's be honest, it's a nightmare scenario. Dude has to raise his hand and seek permission before leaving the house.
Lord.
The conversation made me think of Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott. He's in a similar relationship with Jerry Jones, but I'm not sure Dak is aware. On Friday, USA Today published an article about Dak's contract situation. He has 1 year left on his deal, and the Cowboys are expected to offer him an extension this offseason. Conventional wisdom says Jerry wants to sign Dak to a team-friendly deal like the one Tom Brady has with the Patriots. Dak says Brady isn't the blueprint for his negotiations. Prescott cited supermodel Gisele Bundchen as the difference.
Nobody's wife makes as much money as his wife does either, so make sure we know that, all right? When Tom Brady isn't the breadwinner in the home, then that's a great problem to have. So in that case, he can do that. He can you know, do his contracts however you want to do them.
The problem is Jerry Jones can do Dak's contract however the Cowboys want to do it. Dak has no leverage. The team around Dak is far more valuable than the third-year quarterback. Dak Prescott so far is Case Keenum 2.0. Everybody knows it, especially Dak's teammates. Dak cannot afford a long, drawn-out contract negotiation. His own field reputation won't survive the attention and scrutiny from his teammates. His new contract cannot interfere with the money the Cowboys will eventually need to pay Amari Cooper, DeMarcus Lawrence, Zeke Elliott, and Byron Jones. I'm sure all those guys love Dak, but all those guys rightfully believe they're more valuable to the Cowboys than a quarterback who has thrown 17 more touchdowns in 3 seasons than Patrick Mahomes threw in 1. Dak can lose the Cowboys' locker room quickly if he insists on a deal that hurts the team. If I'm the Cowboys and Dak and his agent demand a contract that averages $20 million per season, I draft a quarterback in the second or third round this year. I might do it even if I strike a reasonable extension with Prescott. The Cowboys won 13 games with Dak as a rookie starter. They can do it again. Given the win or else pressure on head coach Jason Garrett, if I were Garrett, I'd quietly campaign for the team to draft another quarterback. I wouldn't want to rest my future employment solely on Dak Prescott playing at a high level. Dak hasn't accomplished nearly enough to make me comfortable with him as my franchise quarterback. Marcellus, TJ.
Smoke.
Marcellus, I'm going to start with you. Am I crazy here? Dak should take a Brady-like deal. That should be the blueprint.
Crazy? Tough. I wouldn't say you crazy. Well, one part was crazy.
What?
You don't think Dak looked better than Jerry Jones? I knew what you meant, but damn.
Look, Jerry be like, what? Put me at age 25 versus Dak at age 25.
I saw them in Alabama, wherever, Arkansas, looking pictures. No, stop that. Look, I'm with Dak Prescott in what he's trying to do, which is be a tone setter. We talk about it in football all the time. First play from scrimmage, first play on the field, set the tone. In negotiations, the same thing. You got to set the tone. Expectations are a part of what your value is. I've been through this before. TJ, you've been through it before. I was a free agent. I don't want to say how well it went, but it went well. 2001, I set the tone. I was in Buffalo. They even came to me. We sat down in the office. They're like, we can't afford you, and we know it, but it's been great working with you. And I set the tone in the free agency market. I said, look, I'm going to cost a lot. And I did. I got the most money in franchise history. And it was because, in part, the tone was set. Like, don't even take the meeting. Now, here's the thing. This is what's different about Dak Prescott. I understand what you're saying. When you walk into a situation after you set the tone, remember this, I'm not walking in with my head down and my hat in hand out. I'm walking in saying, I know your first offer is gonna be team friendly. I've been through the negotiation. My first offer was half of exactly what I got less than 24 hours later. Half. Like, if I was sitting there like, you want Dak Prescott to sit there. What? You offer me what? I'm so happy to be privileged to be a Dallas Cowboy and the quarterback and wear the star. I'll take it. I'll take it. No, Dak. This is a tone-setting moment. Your agent has to do his job, which is find out what the real value for you is. But I love that, going in there with his chest out, proud, just saying, give me what I deserve.
It's two things it is. Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick. He hasn't had his bite at the apple, so to speak. And then people want to talk about Brady is taking pay cuts. And people forget that Brady was one of the highest-paid players in the NFL at one point in time. Yeah, now he'll take a pay cut. But early on, Brady was getting paid. He can afford to take pay cuts after you've got that big bite at Apple. Now, in my opinion, with Dak Prescott, you look at quarterbacks averages. Andy Dalton in 2014 signed for an average of $16 million a year. In 2014, I'm with you and I'm with you on this one. I'm not giving Dak Prescott more than $22 million a year. I'm not doing it, because if we give him that, our team is going to take a hit, and it's going to, oh, he doesn't have enough weapons around him. Well, we can't put weapons around you. We've given you all the money. And so they need to find a happy medium. But Dak Prescott needs to get paid because he was a fourth-round pick. Right. I'm trying to get him between 18 and 22. If I'm Dak Prescott, 22 has to be the ceiling if I'm the Cowboy. You can't go beyond that.
Yeah, that rookie deal and that rookie year, them 13 wins in that playoff opportunity at $450,000 as your starting quarterback, you got a little team friendly.
4 years, $88 million, 45, 50 guaranteed.
Yeah, and we don't know what the Cowboys are going to offer him. Right now, it's a lot of conjecture. We're like, oh, team friendly means this amount. And we saying the Cowboys are going to sit there and say, you're worth this amount. And Dak is thinking, well, I'm not taking a team friendly deal. It means this amount. There are no numbers with those.
What are you
amounts.
Offering, Jason?
Yeah, what's
what
the are offer? You offering?
To me, I'm trying to get him at $20 million or below, period, because, again.
You wouldn't go 21, 20?
No, because he's not worth it. Mm. Bottom line, those pieces around him make Dak Prescott. Dak, to me, if you have to be self-aware and know your role and get in where you fit in. If Dak can, over the next 3 years, put himself in position to continue to develop and become an elite quarterback, he'll get the money back on his next contract. Quarterbacks are playing, their peak is now age 30, 31, 32.
Yes.
He still has, this isn't the end-all, be-all contract. And so if you go into it in that mindset, to me it speaks to insecurity on Dak Prescott. Mm. Let me get over on him right now. And again, if I'm the cat, just no way. Again, Case Keenum got $18 million last year.
And he's better than Case Keenum.
Maybe.
Case Keenum.
Maybe. That's a lot of pieces around him, man.
If Dak Prescott takes a huge bite of this apple, it's going to be a lot of pressure on him.
That's
why he has to fall somewhere in the middle, because it's – you get paid, you sign a 4-year deal, short term. 3 years after that, you're going to get another deal. 3 years after that, you're going to get another deal. And so, to me, it's better to eat a bunch of small meals than one large one. He's going to have to
and
go.
And continue to wear that star on the side of your helmet. He makes plenty of money just being the Cowboys quarterback. being the Bengals quarterback ain't nearly as valuable off the field as being the Cowboys quarterback. You have to factor all of that in. And look, if you show some self-awareness and sign a deal, I think the respect within that locker room will be there for him. If you sign a deal that's overvalued and guys start looking at you like, hey, man, you need to produce at this number that they're paying you.
First of all, do not walk into that negotiation if you're Dak Prescott worrying about how your teammates going to take this. Because trust me, your teammates are not going to walk into their negotiations worrying about you. How you're going to take it.
They're not all quarterbacks, though. And
that's to Dak's credit. I'm the quarterback. I could play less than you and get paid more than you. You got to understand my position. I was a defensive end. I knew I was going to be second or top paid on my team because it's all about the quarterback and who could stop him. So the top running back on my team, don't look at me, bro. Backup guards and top guards and all these other positions, don't look at me. By position, Dak Prescott is going to be $20 million plus. I agree with you. If you offer me $22 million and say that's going to hurt the team or $20 million and it's team friendly, I'm bowing out for those $2 million to wear that star on my helmet.
Yes.
And keep the peace. However, Dak Prescott, one, is better than Case Keenum. Dak Prescott, two, has come a 180 with you because we started this show together and you
I look at what I'm looking at.
Right.
And again, the facts speak for themselves. Marcellus, when you hit that free agent market, people thought, hey, man, this guy is going to be a perennial Pro Bowler moving forward.
What happened?
No, again. So he got is anybody right now sitting there saying, man, when Dak gets his contract, he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler?
No.
He's going to be
there's
one
only,
of the
there's only a handful of quarterbacks that elevate their teammates. There's a handful, but there's quite more that get paid like they elevate their teammates.
Kirk Cousins just got paid, fully guaranteed. And
he's not going to get away with what Kirk Cousins got away with.
True.
Because, again, the Cowboys have more pieces around him, and just the reality is there's a difference. Black quarterback Donovan McNabb talked about it. The way your teammates look at you.
Man, Dak Prescott, it's a be different. Smart, man. Take that 20 to 21 million, and you'll stay in Dallas your whole career, make about 150, 60 million. He has to be smart with this. Mm-hmm. It's just what, Jason, you know how it is. Oh, man, Dak weak. He making all this money. They going to say that in the locker room. That's how.
Yep.
Man, and I can't you know believe what? They gave Dak this.
And that's okay. As your leader, one, I'm going to tell you that you got to believe in me, and you got to believe that you're not going to try and penalize me for what this system is penalizing us all for. Look, you can stretch the cap. Let's just be respectful.
No, you definitely can.
So let's not put it all on Dak's
shoulders.
But
Marcellus, look at the issues Russell Wilson had in the locker room when he was the highest paid guy. And he is the highest paid guy.
What issues? The team was good this year, and you talk about the team was one player.
It was talk. Yeah.
But that talk wasn't materialized.
Let me recalculate because he wasn't the highest paid guy at the time.
No.
But just look at the issues he had in that Seattle locker room with Richard Sherman just because he got more shine and got more attention.
And it was time for those guys like Cam Chancellor won a new deal. Earl Thomas won a new deal. And they like, y'all done gave this to Russell? We're the reason why.
Thank you. And then look at Donovan McNabb when he was the man in the NFL and the man in Philadelphia. Terrell Owens and that locker room ate Donovan McNabb up. I'm just telling you, it's different. When you the quarterback and you're black in a locker room, the 70% of your teammates are black, it's a different standard and you get treated differently than the white quarterbacks do. And I'm just saying, Dak has to be smart enough to realize, I agree with this is 3 years. If over the next 3 years I can make $55, $60 million, that's plenty good enough. And hopefully I've elevated myself enough that next contract, because just be careful what you wish for, man.
Let me stay in one lane. In lane one, we're talking about Dak Prescott, and he's not good enough for a team contract that's going to hurt him. Lane two, we got he's a black quarterback, so you got to watch.
It's an issue.
No, it's not. I don't understand where the evidence suggests that's going to be an issue.
Russell, the dynamics around a black quarterback with their black teammates is different.
It depends on how they view him in the locker room.
Thank you.
That's a big.
You know why Cam doesn't have that issue? because he determines whether they win or lose, and everybody there knows it. Dak Prescott does not. The guys in Seattle didn't believe Russell Wilson determined it. They thought they did on the defensive side. Terrell Owens and some guys in the Philadelphia lot didn't think Donovan drove it. Cam gets whatever the hell he wants it because they know we don't win unless this dude plays at beast level mode, and we've seen him do it and carry us to the Super Bowl.
Man.
We're joined now by NBA champion Dante Jones, longtime NBA player Ketino Mobley. Let's talk some hoops, where the league's two premier franchises are both struggling after getting embarrassed by the Pelicans in the Anthony Davis fiasco. The Lakers got embarrassed by the 76ers on the court last night, giving up 143 points in a blowout loss. Meanwhile, the Celtics were up 28 on the Clippers Saturday before choking away the game and losing by 11. Afterwards, Marcus Morris went off about Boston's lack of teamwork.
I watch all these other teams on the league, guys up on the bench, they're jumping on the court, they're doing all, you know, other stuff that this look like is they enjoying, you know, their teammates' success, they're enjoying everything, and they're playing together, and they're playing to win. And when I look at us, I just see a bunch of individuals.
Trade down line's over. This is the team we rocking with. This is what we going with. So at the end of the day, man, it's unacceptable what we did tonight. Very unacceptable for a team of our caliber.
For my money, Boston is a bigger mess than the Los Angeles Lakers. Mm. And I know that Boston's won, I think, 7 of their last 10 games, 10 of 13 games, respect, or whatever. But Boston was supposed to be a front runner for the NBA championship. They're fourth in the East. Marcus Morris is pointing out they don't have the kind of chemistry, the kind of team sharing, the type of leadership. They're not living up to their expectations. The Lakers are right on pace for where I thought they were. I thought they was a 42, 44, 45 win team, a borderline playoff squad. I think the whole Anthony Davis, the whole trade deal has actually hurt Boston more than it's hurt the Lakers.
I think the Lakers are in the worst situation. Let's just start with everything's going to get exaggerated in La La Land, especially when you have the biggest, best player on the planet on your team. So LeBron, just by his sheer presence, makes it an issue in L.A. for all things that go wrong. And a few things have gone wrong with this team. No one's talking about firing the coach in Boston. Every other week, every other day, it seems like we're hearing about Luke Walton's job and his security. The shine is not off Boston in terms of free agency acquisitions. A lot of people are saying it may be off the Lakers. And anybody up here, just, you know, frankly, let's talk about LeBron James is there, but the Lakers haven't been known as a story franchise in terms of getting free agents, highly touted free agents. They've got them through trade, but usually it's not a destination in terms of free agency. So some of the luster's off of the brand, it seems like. The coach is up and down. The team is not performing up to level because the young core that was supposed to help LeBron take him to the next level was now the same young core he wants to trade away. So I think it's the Lakers situation.
I agree with Jason on this one, buddy, because the Celtics have a tougher situation. With Kyrie being banged up, they're looking at a trail ahead of them that is going to end up in something that's not great. With their young core, knowing that there's a timeline on them with this AD saga moving into the free agency period, it's going to be tough for them. And with the Lakers, yeah, you can speak about their coach, and every day he might get fired, but that's something the players can handle themselves. Everybody most likely can build chemistry around not liking the coach. That's fine.
What about the players getting fired?
But the players are not getting fired. Free agency period is tough, period, for all teams. All teams know that things are going to happen in free agency period. There's nobody really safe except the all NBA players. And sometimes they get traded themselves, too. Yeah. So it's something that you really can't avoid.
I'm going to go with Jason on this one, Marcellus. The reason is because You're in a vulnerable position with Kyrie Irving. He can leave, okay? You have, like I said the other day, what did I say? When it was about 50 seconds to go in the game when they lost to the Lakers, Marcus Smart wasn't in the game. To me, I look at the bench. I look at body language. I look at a lot of those things. And when you can see Marcus Smart, and I'm not blaming Marcus Smart or anybody else on their team, but I'm watching body language. I do that a lot. So when you see a lot of those guys, like one of the Morris twins said, Guys are not cheering for each other. Guys are more individual. Because last year was more of a nobody was coming for us. All of a sudden now, we're supposed to be number one in the East, especially if LeBron James is not there. And we're fifth. Gordon Hayward, you don't really fit. Not in that system, to me. Then you have, you're digressing the progression of Tatum. What's the other kid? Jaylen Brown. These guys
are regressing.
Regressing,
and,
exactly.
And listen, there are 15 guys on the Boston roster who thought they were competing for an NBA championship this year. There's one guy on the Lakers roster who thought, I came here to win championships, and that's LeBron. Everybody else, to me, on that Lakers ride, it's just along for the ride. They're young. They're developing. They're
they may not be cast-offs.
They may not be Lakers. You got 15 guys who sat down prepared to eat this glorious championship meal, and they getting spammed.
And you got a team president who said, if I don't bring in free agents, I'll fire myself. You got a coach who doesn't know if he can coach his team or not. You got a team that lost by, what, 42 points just a couple of games ago.
I've seen teams run themselves. Like, even when Dallas Mavericks win their championship, you'll get players that say, we tuned Rick Carlisle out halfway through the season, and Jason Kidd coached this team. And that's why Jason Kidd was up for coaching jobs. But speaking to your point, you got turmoil on your bench because you got young kids to say, you know what, we brought them to a conference finals, and we could have almost gotten to the finals if it wasn't for LeBron James.
Exactly.
But we're looking at people who came back and took our minutes and didn't earn these minutes.
Yeah.
And that's where your internal strife is. They didn't earn their minutes, and they're not doing their job, so why are we not playing? You got guys on the bench that got busy last year and had to step back and take nine less minutes.
And they were moving the ball a lot more.
Right.
Kyrie's more ball dominant, so Tatum and Brown, I think, are suffering because Kyrie's so ball dominant, and it throws your rhythm off. You understand? Last year with like Russell Westbrook and Paul George, the first time with those three guys and Carmelo Anthony. Now this year, Russell Westbrook is taking a back seat. He's taking a back seat and letting Paul George boogie. They're not doing that. Kyrie Irving is the alpha male in this one.
February isn't just about one supersized football game. On Spotify, there's thousands of free sports podcasts that agonize over the preseasons, offseason, and plain old regular seasons of nearly every sport imaginable. Basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, curling, and even hurling. Yes, that's a real sport. Now it's so easy to stay updated with the latest rumors, predictions, and scorching hot takes from some of your favorite game's biggest names. So take it one episode at a time and give 110% of your attention to the thousands of free sports podcasts on Spotify, because the best offense is a good podcast.
Let's move to Philadelphia, where the Sixers put on a show last night, putting up 143 points and blowing out the Lakers. Just about everyone got in on the action, except Ben Simmons, who struggled from the field and even took his first ever legit three-pointer, which he missed. Twitter thought maybe seeing girlfriend Kendall Jenner staring at LeBron had something to do with Simmons' struggles, but it's no secret he can't shoot. And I'm one of these guys. I've never been a huge Ben Simmons guy. It's a league where you should be able to shoot. You need to be able to shoot. Steph Curry's transformed the league, and somehow we've convinced ourselves that Ben Simmons is the next LeBron James, but he can't shoot. I think it's their Achilles heel. They've got a nice roster, but I think Milwaukee and Toronto are going to exploit the fact that you don't have to guard Ben Simmons.
I'm
with you so much in this one. The reason why, I'm going to tell you why. He's 6'10 point guard. That's unheard of, right? You have Magic, you got like a LeBron-ish. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of people that are like that. But to me, and I'm not a fan of like what he does right now. He's been in the league 3 years. I'm not a fan of what he does. Like he's not LeBron. LeBron can take four guys from Home Depot and go to the playoffs. He needs people around him, like a Dak Prescott. You need those people around you for you to do well. So if you didn't have JJ and you didn't have Tobias Harris, you didn't have Jimmy Butler, if you didn't have Joel Embiid, and you just had a couple of average guys and one guy that was like, okay, you'd really be exposed because you can't even make a five-footer. Like, I just don't see.
I've never been big.
That's exaggerated, though, that he can't shoot.
Outside of 10 feet.
Okay, but now, now we're qualifying it. Like,
not guy, outside, that's shooting.
The guy's 13th in the league in field goal percentage by his game.
He's shooting layups.
But that's my point. So here's the thing. You start to extend that. You start to increase that range. We've seen it before. We talk about Magic Johnson. His first 10 years in the league, 23% from behind the arc. I'm not comparing on the Magic, just he's giving you Magic growth charts. Then all of a sudden, 11th season, 38, 39%. 11th season. So there was a time where there was a sports analyst out there saying, in his third season, he can't shoot. But you know what? You start to develop your game of late. Blake Griffin has extended his range to now. Blake Griffin's shooting from three like none other. Michael Jordan, you talk about his shooting. He shot his first 6 years under 30%. I'm not comparing him to any
one
of those
guys. It's the raggediest looking left-handed
shots. It's raggedy. It's not cute. But what he does effectively. And there's something to grow from.
And I'm left-handed.
Which,
<It's>
which is what he does right now. Y'all stop hating on Ben Simmons.
Kawhi Leonard is the example that you have of a guy that extended his range over time. And they should be moving in that direction. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's a problem for Philadelphia right now because his main job is to
facilitate.
Get attack. Get in the paint, attack, make the defense shrink, and then you kick out to your shooters. Mm-hmm. They have shooters, and they have talent that can shoot now. They have a shooting big, mm-hmm. and they have shooting power forward. They got Jimmy out there shooting. They got JJ out there knocking shots down. So his attack is his biggest asset right now. And the fact that he's also averaging eight assists and 9 rebounds, he offers things to the game of basketball. He's not like LeBron. Do not get it twisted at all.
That's what they're comparing him to.
I know, but all their comparisons are not always right. He's his own entity. He's a 6'10 point guard.
6'10".
But he also posts smaller guards and take advantage of switches.
Thank you.
So that's his job right now, but he should be building his jump shot out like Kawhi Leonard.
What happens in the postseason? He again, regular season NBA is one thing. You get into the postseason.
You got to play that team 4 times, beat that team 4 times.
I don't think he puts them at a detriment because they have a go-to scorer in Joel Embiid.
What is he shooting from free throw line?
I'm not talking. He's not their go-to guy though.
60%.
He's their facilitator.
Ball's gonna be in his hands.
Ball gonna be in your hands.
But you trust him to get it to the right person. That's not a problem. You can sub him out the game. You have T.J. McConnell that can play.
That's going to kill.
It's not going to kill the team. But if a team wants to go to that strategy, you have things you can go to. As the 76ers, they have a go-to man in Joel Embiid. They have shooters. They have shooters in J.J. Redick. They have a closer in Jimmy Butler. So they have strengths that they can go to, but they also have a 6'10 attack.
I like the Tobias Harris pickup.
Right. Yeah. Tobias can get you a bucket any way you want to. They have a 6'10 guy that can attack and exploit mismatches.
It's your third year.
We got to move. Well, Simmons may have struggled on the court last night, but he also might have stepped in it off the court. Before the game, Magic Johnson revealed that Simmons, who happens to be rep by LeBron's agent Rich Paul, contacted the Lakers to set up a meeting with Magic for advice about being a big guard. Today, Sixers general manager Elton Brand said he refused to authorize the meeting.
Ooh.
All right, are the Sixers potentially making a mistake here? They may have just stepped in with a chess move in terms of Ben Simmons can now, y'all prevented me from developing as a basketball player by preventing me from working out with Magic. Are they making a mistake here by playing hard and fast with Ben Simmons?
You know damn well they are. And I'm upset at Elton Brand, the friend and the former player, who is now going corporate and forgot that once you're a former player, you're allowed to blur the lines in certain situations. This is one of them. I don't understand this fear-based, insecure mindset of, don't let them work out and get better with Magic Johnson, because Magic Johnson may be recruiting them when they're taking breaks in their workouts. It doesn't work that way. Magic Johnson, his presence is a recruiting chit out there for everybody else. They see Magic Johnson with the Lakers. They want to get recruited to the Lakers. That's on them. There's a separate lane where he's talking about, let me keep my narrow focus on being a better player for this organization. If I'm going to go to the Lakers, I'm going to go to the Lakers whether you try to stop it or not. So I don't understand where Elton Brand and the Sixers are coming from not allowing a guy to just get better in this game.
Well, I think Elton Brand should win GM of the year. He's done a great job so far in rebuilding that team. I think he made a mistake on this one because I'm with sharing knowledge and sharing the game amongst players. I think it's very few players that take the opportunity to actually help the younger generations and help them out, help them learn, help them grow. In his case, Ben is dealing with one guy who's been where he's at that has a similar base for his development and for his growth and to teach him that position because he's at a disadvantage of being 6'10". As much as he has an advantage at 6'10", he's at a small disadvantage in some capabilities that he has to do on the basketball court. And I think Magic has that form. I think it shouldn't be looked at as a recruiting tool. I think Magic is professional enough to be able to help the younger generation.
That is desperate also, though, too.
And he's been tampering a couple times.
What happened to Jason Kidd? What happened to Rod Strickland? What happened to all these other amazing point guards?
They 6'10"?
None of them 6'10".
But what does 6'10 got to do with 6'5"?
Body type matters. Body type
Magic Johnson considered the best?
Somebody's going to teach him how to shoot the ball?
Yeah. Are they better than Magic?
Is Magic Johnson considered the best point guard of all time?
Yeah, I mean,
do you want to learn from the best or do you want to learn from
more instinctual. Like Magic, who went to Magic before about point guard advice like that and he taught him for the whole summer? What are we doing?
No, just have it. Just get it.
You can't have a first client?
No, listen, man. When you start letting, grandma was telling me, you let that woman in that house now and leave her in that house, you can't be mad at the husband after a while.
Oh, wow. Time out. Guys go to Hakeem all the time.
Yeah.
Hakeem,
Hakeem is a lifelong Rocket.
No, but Hakeem is not a
consultant for nobody else.
You are tampering is my point.
I understand that.
That is tampering. So sooner or later, if Ben Simmons starts going with Magic Johnson and he's with Clutch Sports, sooner or later, 2 years from now, the Lakers may get Ben Simmons. Y'all don't see that happening?
No. I don't see it. I don't see it.
They can match our offer.
I can see it happening without him going to Magic in terms of tutelage, and I also can see it happening if he works with him. But guess what? You're not going to stop the bum rush. If he's going to go to the Lakers, he's going to go to the Lakers. The mindset of saying, oh, don't go around him, girl, you might start liking him. She going to go where she wants to go, and if you want to make the interaction happen, it's going
to
happen.
What did you say to me the other day? It's prevention.
Let's not go back to that.
I don't blame Brazil.
Listen, you get in free agency, you get a chance to offer him a contract, and you get the match of the 76ers. Like, listen, he can't just go straight to the Lakers. You got time, and they will be a perennial powerhouse with him on their roster.
I think there's risk both ways. I think the Lakers have done this, and Magic made it public. It's a talking point. Mm. Rich Paul, and trust me, Magic Johnson's desperate. LeBron's desperate, which means Rich Paul is desperate. And if they can start a relationship or a conversation with Ben, hey, man, the Sixers didn't allow you to develop, work with Magic Johnson. You need to get up out of there. They can play that card.
Yeah.
They could also play the card of come on out here to L.A., work with Magic.
He's already in L.A.
Would it just be better?
I'm about to say he's already
out here.
Okay.
Go to the So it's a lunch date, and that's about it. Catch him at the gym and give him a little something. I'm not talking about spend a whole summer with him, but give him something, share a little knowledge with him, try and expand your mindset, not spend a whole summer with him.
I'm just saying, go to Jason Kidd. Go to someone else that was an amazing point guard and get advice from them as well. What you going to teach him about spin? Like, what are we? Okay,
when you hook?
Baby hook. What are we doing?
Really
sell my no look?
Listen, I agree with you. Jason Kidd could possibly be a factor. Jason Kidd came into the league and couldn't shoot,
right?
And then turned into a decent shooter.
Jake,
a very
top
good
five ever.
Shooter.
We'll get my Chip England. You taught Kawhi how to shoot.
Time for an NBA story sponsored by Toyota. Let's go places.
New money.
Let's move to New Orleans, where Anthony Davis isn't going anywhere for the time being. The Pelicans raised a lot of eyebrows with their decision to keep playing AD, despite the fact he'll be on the trade block again this summer. But reportedly, the league threatened to fine New Orleans $100,000 for every game they sat Davis, a move that has Jeff Van Gundy up in arms.
I think their owner, Gail Benson, has missed out on an opportunity to take a stand for her team and for all small market teams in the NBA. Anthony Davis, one of the five best players in the NBA, publicly demanded a trade, and now the NBA is trying to bully her and threaten her with unduly harsh fines. And if I was her, I would say, I'll pay the fine, but at the end of the day, I'm going to do what's best for my franchise.
I don't know if I buy that because I think she's already taken a stand and the Pelicans took a stance by not folding to the Lakers and their trade offer.
Exactly.
I think that was the stand for small markets when she didn't do that. I think now, I believe, and Jeff Gundy may know better and other people may know better, I think the league has promised the Pelicans some protection as it relates to Anthony Davis's trade value. They're going to work very hard this offseason to make sure they get great value for Anthony Davis. I don't have a problem with them playing Anthony Davis, even though they didn't play him in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they certainly protected him before in a Chris Paul trade in terms of Zach Nixon had to make sure they got the proper value.
You keep going back to that.
I always go back to that. I love that.
You on that.
Look out. I don't like how we're contextualizing this and the way that we're phrasing it and threaten to fine when it's in reality we're just going to execute a rule that is already there. And that rule is, we call it the Popovich rule, the rest rule, whatever you want to call it. But there's a rule there, and it's for good reason, especially in a star-driven league like the NBA, where you pay top dollar, hard-earned money to go out there and see stars go out there and play. So this may be a moment that is going to galvanize some form or revision to that rule. But the moment to revise it is after the season, after you collect your thoughts and your emotions go away and you start to realize, okay, how should we address this? Because this is a unique situation and you don't want to continue to set that precedent.
Jeff got to chill out a little bit on this one because you can't have it both ways. Like you can't have the organizations be penalized because of resting players and getting ready for the playoffs. And then when the organization wants to switch it and hold a guy out according to how they feel, like they have to be able to do it. No, the rule is the rule, which was a good rule in 2017.
Yeah.
So, like, we have to do what's best for the fans. And the fans are paying those tickets, and the fans want to see guys play. And if he's able to play and wants to play, he should be on the court because he gave you 32-9 in three quarters.
In 25 minutes.
And that was a great sight to see.
Yes.
But check this out. Game. Like, I don't like how they, like you said, I don't like how they throw words around like that, bullying
right.
New Orleans. Like, Jeff, you were the same person, if not this year, I think last year.
Talking about the resting.
Saying about the resting. Gotcha. You didn't like the resting. Now all of a sudden, the NBA is bullying the owner of the Pelicans.
It's a rule.
What you got to pick one. Pick which. Why? It's $2.6 million. If you don't want him to play, pay that $2.6 million. Let him sit down. You get great value. That's what you guys were talking about last week. That's you get the great value.
And that's not bull.
But if everybody knows that those fans of New Orleans knows that man is healthy, give me a little something before you leave. Why am I going to sit here and
talk? I might pay that $2.6
million. $2.6 million.
That's like paying an insurance policy. Just to make
that's an insurance policy.
I'm doing as much as I can.
If you want to.
To make sure that he's healthy so I can get assets.
But Jeff can't say that.
Here's why I think Jeff is saying what he's saying. Because I think Jeff, and again, he said what he said last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's looking at new information and a new reality in the league. And it's like, hold it. I think his comments really are about, man, these players have gone a little bit too far.
Mm-hmm.
And they have too much control. And again, I don't think he's in position to say what he really thinks.
That's like a chicken and an egg, though. Right?
Yeah, but I think
owners be having too much power. Players have
ownership have too much power?
They do.
How can?
Because you don't respect the rights of the players
at all.
You can't
disrespect cattle.
They abuse.
Yeah,
the
you
rights
can
of players.
Abuse the rights.
You have to get off that stance. It's like owners. In ownership, there's not an abuse of power.
Yeah.
There can be an abuse of power in ownership. Just because you pay money for it,
you can't just do whatever you want to. I can passively tell you what to do if I'm the owner.
Yeah.
I might not have to demand it, but I can passively.
I can tell you play when you're hurt.
Making
tell you.
Hundreds of millions.
No matter.
Everybody's not making hundreds of millions.
Let me tell you something. Them owners are successful owners before they even started basketball. If I give you a dollar, I'm making $3 off of you. That's what owners do in any profession.
But it doesn't matter the dollar amount. Let's not do that because
no, he said make a million dollars.
Because
when
I pay you for your services, I pay you as an employee. I don't pay you for all of your rights. I don't pay you for your privacies. I don't pay you for your identity. I pay you for your service.
Well, they're not.
And I gotta respect other things.
They're not doing that in terms of no one's exploiting Anthony Davis. Is my point. The guy's gonna make $200-300 million over the course of his career in the NBA.
And you don't subject him to unfair practices also.
What unfair practices is he
If the guy wants to play, why won't you let him play? He wants to get better. Look, you want him to do that.
Well, again, no. He wants to come in with time on his contract. Get me out of here. I want to be traded. Right. I want to go play with LeBron.
But I'm still going to give you my full effort.
And I like how you said it. Like, that's how he said it. That's not how he said it, Jason. That's not how he said it.
How did he say it?
Get me out of here. I don't want to.
Get me out of here. I want to go.
I'm going.
I don't even want to be on Bourbon Street no more. Just get me. Let me go.
That's what he basically did. And ownership has a right. And Jeff Van Gundy's saying a right. They have a right to push back and like, hey, man, we're paying y'all a lot of money. You can't just
so now you're going to go
out because y'all want to move city to city and play with best friends and y'all don't really want to compete. We don't have to submit to all of that.
Oh, really? You just roll out the bed and get championships. Don't want to compete. That's how it goes. Team of LeBron, instant championship.
So AD hasn't competed over the seven years. Contract.
7 years.
He hasn't competed and given everything
to
the city.
He's got more time on his contract. That's all I'm saying.
But has he competed? Yes or no? Has he given? Has he done his responsibility?
Don't you want to go somewhere where you can
have
win?
Have they done a good job in providing
stuff
around him?
Look at where you're at a winning situation.
It's not
he's
that
tried.
Easy,
Jason. It
he's
really
tried,
isn't.
Jace. You can't do that. That's not how it works.
Man, and a contract can take away your pain, huh? Oh, you get $100 million, man. You
so
should
you just
never
supposed to settle like that.
Yeah. That's never
man,
complain.
Hey, $200 million, be cool.
The people watching this show ain't making $100
million. Well, we need to educate them.
Might be some other reason.
We don't need to just sit down and look. We're not going down there.
It's some factors in it.
Because they wasn't born 7 feet tall.
It's some factors in it.
Yeah, but at the same time, you shouldn't talk down to people and say, oh,
who's
you know.
Talking down
because
to,
you're
give me $100 million. Talk to me any kind of way.
No way. Especially
no
if I got $100
million. Oh, my really God.
Gonna,
you
I'm really going to expect some love. If you go, if
Jace,
I get $100 million.
Listen.
Not me.
I know your personality. I know your personality. I know yours, okay? I went to school for this. Somebody give you $100 million? Yeah, anybody talk to you any type of way they want to talk
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, yes, they can.
Not you.
You know why?
They're not doing it, Jace.
The people
not you.
Who are getting $100 million are
you a type A personality. You're not going to let anybody talk to you. I don't care how much money they give you.
Because you know what?
What?
I'm going to go home to my family and friends with that $100 million.
You have pride, too.
Ignore the idiot.
You have pride, too, and it's about competition.
You can be bought.
Oh, you can be bought.
You can be. It's a price on you, huh?
Let me find out.
$100 is the price?
Let's move to a new football league, the Alliance of American Football, which made its debut this weekend. The games were notable for their big hits and physical play, which had been disappearing from the NFL in recent years. And they prove yet again that America's appetite for football is insatiable, with the AAF debut tying the Rockets Thunder game head-to-head in the ratings. Question here is, I don't know if you guys got to watch much of it. I did.
Yeah.
Do we think the success is sustainable? Do you think this league has a chance?
I do. I did watch it. And then I watched another game, kind of more background, just as you watch a few games, just to see if it keeps my interest and the highlights jump off the screen. And it did. And more than just the X's and O's and the play, because let's just be real. It's a game of number twos. It's the backups or guys who are cast offs from the NFL. But what I like is their business model, their philosophy of they're trying to steer away from the NFL in terms of some of its policies and some of the rules. So let's talk about the overtime rules. I love that. How you every team gets a possession, no field goals. You get the ball at the 10-yard line, no kickoffs. They're looking at the NFL as a business model and saying, where are the voids? Where are they underserved or not respected by the fans, and then let's attack those holes in the NFL's business model. It's a smart play as long as they stay clear and continue to steer away from being NFL 2.0.
It's what a lot of people have missed in NFL. The vicious hits is no penalty. Mm. It was no big thing. It looks like they're taking the kicker out of the kicker is gone. There's no kickoffs. There's no PATs. You must go for two. The overtime rule. Everybody gets the ball at the 10-yard line.
Let's get it.
You get four downs. If you don't score, neither team scores. You're forced to go for two. It ends in a tie. Football is such a popular sport in this world that it as long as it's good players and it's good product on the field, people are going to watch it because that football just galvanizes. You just want to sit around and watch football.
I was shocked at how much I liked the first game. And it had the big hit that I think the defensive end, Shan Washington or whatever, blew up the quarterback.
Berkovici.
And I got so excited. And when there was
You was looking for the flag?
Oh, I was looking for the flag, and I was like, there's no flag. And I was like, to me, that's what they need to lean into. we're going to be the big hit league. Mm. The league where you can actually touch the quarterback and these guys got to survive. I would lean into that. And, yeah, and then the other thing I think they've done a great job with these head coaches they've picked.
Yes.
Kind of interesting Stars. To see. I want to see if Mike Singletary is going to flop as a head coach in this league. Mm-hmm. I want to – Steve Spurrier. I find him
interesting. Did you hear when Spurrier called a play in and he was like, man, let's see if – hope he can catch this one. He called a play in and was like, I hope he catches this one.
Yeah.
And so you don't see that on the NFL sideline, the interaction.
You're saying the transparency in the instant replay and the review system, they're actually talking. You can hear them say – oh, my first thought was this, but now let me go back and change it. And that was transparent to us as fans. That was great. I do have some anxiety. Two things. One, competition is coming. The XFL is coming next year, and supposedly they're thinking of taking players straight from high school. That is going to be something that's going to be attractive to not only the players, but to me as a viewer.
That they feel are NFL caliber coming out of high school.
Yeah, and look, you're going against other guys who may be 18 like you, and you're going against some grown men, but you know what? Let you go out there and the cream rises to the top. That's going to be interesting. And also, if you look at what's going to happen to this league, they have to make sure, Bill Polian is one of the co-founders, that they don't go out there and start to see the success early and don't continue to work on the model. A lot of times that's what happens. Oh, let's stay stagnant because this is what's worked. You got to be careful because the competition's coming. They're going to look at your model as well as the NFL and try to find a void in that.
I'll be that first game I watched on CBS, I was shocked the next day when they basically had 3 million viewers. And they blew my mind because I didn't know until 3-4 hours before kickoff that the game was even taking place. Mm. I still thought the AAF was a year away. Ah. So they did it without much promotion, and a lot of people watched.
I like it.
I went on the website and saw San Diego has some games coming up.
Yeah. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Dak Prescott. What is, were you Popeye?
Lowly Dad.
What is...
What? It's what
is, you in the Navy? What?
I'm in the Navy. Do you have the Navy in you?
No, I do not.
All right, then.
Nah, we good.
I'm a serviceman.
I'm a serviceman.
Young man.
All right.
Oh, man.
Nah, let's cut it out. All right.
Yeah,
all right, here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about Dak Prescott. This weekend, Marcellus, I was in a conversation with my best friend from high school.
Yeah, I remember us talking.
My best friend from high school, talking about a mutual friend and how little leverage he has within his marriage. Conversation made me think of Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott. He's in a similar relationship with Jerry Jones.
No, Dak, this is a tone-setting moment. Your agent has to do his job, which is find out what the real value for you is. But I love Dak going in there with his chest out, proud, and saying, give me what I deserve.
Uncle Jimmy, I know you. No way you can agree with Marcellus here. You've been a big critic of Dak Prescott. Certainly, you side with me anyway. Uncle Jimmy, what's your take?
First of all, I ain't never had no problem with no woman to make more money than me. That's a you problem.
Get him.
Not a me problem. What I tell you, the game's sold, not told. What I tell you, bacon grease and the credit score. It's all you need to know about if whether or not you got you a good woman or not. If she got a good credit score and know what to do with a can of Crisco grease, you got you a special lady and a very exciting girl. Merk Ellis, you gonna bring out that bass a little bit.
Man, gonna be a special lady. We talking about Dak Prescott. Don't get me up here singing. I can't sing. Dak, go back.
I know what we talking about, Mark Ellis, but my oversized, overpriced nephew over here disrespecting high price paying women, well paying women, good job having women, talking about some leverage. Do you think that Stedman thinks about leverage when Oprah's feeding him gumbo while they laying in bed? See, Jason don't know nothing about that. Now, am I right or wrong? If you're doing it right, it smells a little bit like gumbo, don't it?
Hey, Hey, what?
Lord, up above, please bless me with a woman with a good job, a Monique, a Moni Love,
Moni Love.
Cheryl Underwood, call Uncle Jimmy. Moni, you know, Moni, hey, Moni, slide Moni. You over into my DMs.
Moni Love.
Look, man, get off of Twitter, man. We talking about Dak Prescott. This isn't Tinder.
Okay. First of all, I know what we talking about. Big dummy. All right? I know what we talking about. Okay? We talking about leverage.
Yeah.
And I just need the ladies out there to know, which camera we looking at? Uncle Jimmy don't need no leverage. You ain't even got to bring me a beverage. Uncle Jimmy, all he need him is a 401k and a summer home, and I'll leave you the hell alone. I'm about that life. I'm a paper chaser like that. You understand?
So you agree with Dak and me that you got to go in there and get as much dough as possible, right?
First of all, you got to know your lane.
All right.
First of all, you got to understand this. Uncle Jimmy, I'm bringing more to the table than Dak. You know, they tell you up front, who am I? I'm the notorious B.I. Jimmy. Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the needy. I'm a franchise player. You know? Hey, man, I got the looks. I got the swagger. I got that game. I attract the likes of the Oprahs, the Lonnie Loves, the Moniques. You know, my looks alone. I mean, now, come on now. Zoom in on me, cameraman. Oh. My looks alone put me on the same level.
Where's my approval rating for Dak Prescott?
Dak ain't on the same level as a top quarterback is all I'm trying to tell you. So you be a fool. Jerry Jones be a fool to give him that money. Look, see, out on the streets, I'm known as Tom Brady. I gets mine. Six rings.
Look, man.
Five
Dak
bridges.
Prescott, I think I have him at a 62. Yeah, it's at the bottom okay. here. I got his job performance at a 72, all-time greatness of 5, character 22, authenticity 18. He's up 6 points since the last time I graded.
Got him up in job performance? Did you watch that? You watched the Rams game? It wasn't his fault, but it's they took an L and same place they were when he was a rookie, but with a worse record. So
you took him down?
Yeah, I had to take him down, job performance. Because from Amari Cooper, it was up, and then it kind of went
How
back
is he
down
not authentic, though? I don't get
you. Authentic.
I don't get that.
You got enough to feed the needy, right?